AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
The Last Word on Today FM.
Ian Guider from the Business Post is going to take us through a review of the year in business. And there's lots of places we could start. But you know where I want to start, actually, is something where you upset a lot of our listeners. Work from home. As this was a debate that really has intensified during the year, with the likes of AIB and Bank of Ireland wanting people to come into the office more often, particularly AIB. I think Colin Hunt has made this a really core issue for him. And then you get the likes of Dennis O'Brien, who, it should be said, owns considerable amounts of commercial property in Ireland. And his tenants probably want to see people coming back in to justify the rents that they're paying. And arguments have been made, some of which are good in relation to, well, people need to be with each other to learn from them, particularly if they're younger. But on the other side of it, people saying that they get completely worn out by getting stuck in the traffic on the way in or on the way home, and it impacts on their productivity. And she is, you know yourself, Ian, you could be standing around in the office chatting to people rather than getting work done. Whereas when you're at home, I know everyone says you're going to have to pick up the children or you're minding the dog or you're doing the washing or whatever.
Or watching Netflix.
Don't be so cynical, Ian. The point is that I don't think we have enough evidence as to what works best, but an awful lot of people are making assumptions.
They are. And look, I got a lot of criticism for some of the comments I've said on here and also in relation to the Business Post where I wrote in the last couple of weeks about it. Look, the trouble here, Matt, is people have made life-changing assumptions that work from home would always be the thing that would happen to them after the pandemic. There are many people who decided I can get a cheaper mortgage somewhere down the country if I'm in Dublin, or I can get rent somewhere nearer to where my office is if I can rent somewhere different. That was fine during the pandemic. Companies were prepared to facilitate it. But it's no great conspiracy that people want their staff back in the office. They don't really buy into it. If I speak to employers, they don't buy into the idea of work from home. And they say it for a couple of reasons. They say to me, look, we want people in place so that they can learn more. And yes, so that we can make sure they are productive. Because they'll point out that if you're in a bank, you might be dealing with customer relations. You need to be able to respond to people very quickly. Rather than taking 10 minutes to log onto a Zoom call and getting mute and unmute, you're able to do it if somebody calls into the office or somebody stops by your desk and you're able to deal with a query. And if that's true for banking, it's true for all other companies where you have employees who are in the office and we're all working at home. And you might have teams who are split up. There might be one person might be at home, three other people might be in the office, somebody at a working hub elsewhere. And it's just not as productive enough if they were all sitting around, they could resolve an issue in 5 or 10 minutes or if they were in the office.
Of course, what also has to be remembered is the stats from the CSO show that there's only about 1/3 of the workforce are in a position to work from home anyway. The majority of people who are listening to us have to be in their place of work because that's the only place where they can do their work. It's only a certain number of people who had the luxury of being able to work from home.
Yeah, and I think this comes to a fairness issue as well from companies. Look, a lot of companies told employees, yeah, this is going to be permanent, but they told them that during the pandemic. Like AIB made the decision back in 2021 to tell employees this hybrid relationship with us will be in place permanently. You can work 2 days in the office, 3 days at home. Now they've switched that, but they have actually said, well, actually, people made, you know, we know you made a life-changing decision. We'll give you an exemption if we can, but we still believe you'll be better off here in the office. And I think for junior staff, they are saying, actually, for your career, it would be good. Who would argue in your first job that you should be working at home when you need to learn the ropes?
See, there's two major issues which tie into politics as well, which is our business related. One is traffic, the other is housing. Traffic, because we have more people at work than we ever have. We've gone over 2.8 million people at work. And if the vast majority of them are going to and from the workplace, it's no surprise that we now have traffic jams at 6 a.m. coming into Dublin. And we have people in Galway and Cork and Limerick saying that they're having to leave for work half an hour earlier than they used to. That has major impacts on the quality of life, which means there's going to have to be major investment in public transport, in rail lines, metro, bus routes, everything. But the other big issue for the year has definitely been housing. And whatever about the state getting involved in financing a large part of the housing stock that we get every year, it cannot afford to do it all. And even if it was, it would still need to subcontract work out to private businesses to do the building for it.
Yeah, I've been really depressed and despondent about housing this year because we actually have gone backwards. We've had two big government announcements. One was the changes to rent pressure zones in which landlords will be able to increase their rates to market rates from next year on new tenancies. But also we had the government's housing plan, 300,000 homes to be built by the end of the decade. That's not going to happen. We are actually going backwards. The housing numbers for 2025, when they finally came out at the start of January this year, showed us going into reverse. This year, they'll be a little bit better when the number comes out in January. We will have built somewhere in the region of 32,000-33,000 homes. But for 2026 onwards, we're actually going down. New commencements has fallen every single month this year. In February, we managed to only start 700 new homes. What is happening? And as you said, it's not for the want of the government throwing money at it. They're giving the Land Development Agency budgets. Land Development Agency is borrowing money. We've got the government throwing in money to builders to try and make them build at scale. But nothing seems to be working. Even on the government's own timeline, we're not going to hit that 300,000 because that requires 60,000 per year. We won't get to that. Even by the time they hit the election, we will not hit anywhere near that number. So just what is going on? I've spoken to lots of people who are builders, property developers, real estate agents, and they say, look, the changes the government has done, rent pressure zones, that should get investors in to build apartments. We should have more builders of scale who can turn out maybe 1,000 units a year, not 500. But nothing is happening at the same time, or nothing is happening at pace. And I still say the government needs to probably do something a bit more radical. Perhaps it needs to even start its own construction company that's happening in other countries in Europe. Perhaps it even needs to double the budget again of the LDA to start buying up homes out there, do more on dereliction, because we are going to see, and it will be very apparent in 2026, the building numbers will slow right down.
Of this year, the things that happened this year, the tariffs announcement by Donald Trump on the 2nd of April did not turn into a disaster for the Irish economy as we had feared, did it?
No. And I probably should say we all got it wrong. We were all sitting in this studio. We were sitting writing columns saying this was going to destroy the Irish economy because all the pharmaceutical companies would get out of Ireland. Jobs would be gone. What happened? Absolutely nothing. The tariffs had no impact on the economy whatsoever. They only took effect from the start of August, this 15% on the EU, but they didn't include pharmaceuticals, which is pretty much, apart from a bit of food and drink, the only thing we sell back to the United States. It has had an impact on some countries elsewhere. Switzerland got hammered with tariffs. Japan got hammered with tariffs. India got hammered. But if you look at even parts of Europe, that 15% hasn't really had an impact. Maybe yet it hasn't, but I don't see it having a huge impact. Even in the next couple of years, what has Trump said? Well, if you build pharmaceutical plants in America, you'll get charged 0% tariffs. That means that they can still have their businesses here. They'll have to supply the drugs all around the world. So we will actually be still possibly a beneficiary of American large.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Yes.
Well, also the things that we manufacture that go to the United States, like erectile dysfunction tablets and slimming drugs and Botox, are the type of things that they want. And they're not going to turn them away from across the border, are they?
No. And the one thing, I suppose, what really has got people, it's all the uncertainty about it. If you remember that Liberation Day thing where we was holding up that chalkboard with all the tariff figures on it, it's the uncertainty. Are the numbers actually going to be fixed? Will it be 15% on goods coming from the European Union into the US? What happens in 6 months' time if he decides, you know what, that's not working for me, I'm going to double it, and I'm actually going to include things you make like wine and cheese and foods and other things? That's why people are so worried about it.
Of course, the tariffs haven't had the effect on the American economy as yet, as feared. Now, I think as yet, because I think a lot of companies absorbed the additional 15% in their pricing structures for this year, but will add it on next year. And you could point to the continuing rise in the American stock market as evidence that it didn't do damage. However, a lot of that rise in the stock market is down to the AI bubble, which we have spoken about countless times in the Business Spot over the last number of months. The top 10 companies going up in value, driving the stock market ahead, but the rest of the stock market is flat or down in America. And there's also issues in America in relation to the top, what is it, 10% spending 50% of the money, and people at the lower levels are really struggling to make ends meet. I'm not sure how much longer this stock market boom in the United States can continue.
It will continue for as long as these big companies say that it will continue, because they cannot admit that the spending they are doing, the vast amounts of money, the tens of billions of dollars, Amazon, Microsoft, Google, Apple, Netflix, Nvidia, all of these companies are spending per quarter on data centers, on high-end chips from Nvidia. They have bet the future on artificial intelligence revolutionizing every single task we do. What have we got for it so far? We have a chatbot that tells you slop and inaccurate answers and can't tell you what day it is. That's the grand total of all of these billions so far. What they're betting is it will change every single industry of work. It will create new jobs. It will make people more productive. We're going to end up with humanoid robots doing our dishes. That isn't happening and won't happen for some time. But if they call a halt to it, if any of these companies say we're going to scale back investment, their share prices will crater. And with that will go an awful lot of wealth in the United States, because people have poured money into these handful of companies hoping that the profits will come.
We can't cover everything, but I do want to make mention of, we have a lot of very successful Irish companies which used the stock market in Ireland in the late 20th century to fund their expansion. The likes of CRH in particular. Smurfit was one of the early movers from the 70s and 80s. Into the 90s, the creation of the likes of Ryanair and Kingspan or whatever, using the stock market to invest money to make themselves bigger. Where are the Irish companies doing that? Nobody joins the stock market now. There's a lot of private equity sales, and there are companies just departing the Irish market to go to the United States. And I suppose everyone will point out CRH, now a member of the S&P 500, a massive increase in valuation since it delisted from Dublin and moved to the United States and became more attractive for American pension funds and investors to invest
in. A company worth north of $80 billion, double was it what it was 2 years ago. And you're right, where are all these high-tech companies of the future going to do? They're actually making lots of investments, they're hiring lots of people, but they don't need shareholders like you or I buying their stock on the stock exchange. They don't need to raise money like that, because they have investors coming from Silicon Valley. They've got them coming from the United States and Europe and the Middle East, and they're funding these companies with huge checks. A few years ago, an Irish company might raise $5 million and that was big news. Nowadays, they're raising $100 million, $150 million, and they are worth north of €1 billion or $1 billion, and they can stay like that private for some time, because these investors will wait for maybe 5 years before they'll cash in by selling to another company or listing on the American stock exchange. And you're right, where if you were to build a CRH or a Ryanair now, you wouldn't be doing it here in Ireland. You just wouldn't have that facility. We're building a different type of company.
And companies almost give up on it. Dalata Hotels could have been used the stock market to become a major Irish international hotel company. It's now Scandinavian owned. It was bought for a deal for about 1.3, 1.4 billion euro, which was way above the stock market valuation it had. And it could argue quite realistically the stock market had not valued it properly, so therefore it was vulnerable to being sold.
Yeah, because you have Irish pension funds don't buy shares in Irish companies. Irish individuals, when they invest, don't invest in Irish companies. So therefore the values of them don't go up as much. You don't get enough profit out of them. You don't get enough returns. So why would you invest in them? And it's not as if we don't have massive wealth in this country. There's about 150 billion euro of savings sitting in bank accounts. If those people started to invest in the stock market, you would have a better return on your money, and you'd be helping the Irish economy, and you'd be helping these companies if they needed it. The trouble is, Matt, as I said, these companies can find the money abroad, and you've got a whole lot of Irish people who are investing in companies in other countries.
It's going to be very hard to find somebody to buy a permanent TSB, isn't it? The government decided, not the company itself, that it wanted the bank sold because it still has, what is it, 57% shareholding?
57.7% is the government's stake in PTSB.
And it's decided because it's out completely of AIB, having completed the sale of its AIB shares this year, to get out of banking entirely. It's finding it very hard to find a purchaser.
So it will find a purchaser. It will depend on who it is and what price you want to take. So the big decision for Simon Harris is, do you want to get a huge amount of money back on the state's investment in permanent TSB? If you do, then the buyer of PTSB will be a financial buyer from private equity who will want to come in, make a return and get out within 5 years. Or do you want another bank to come in and buy PTSB and provide real competition and real pricing, cheaper mortgages, better investments? If they come in, they'll want to get a return as well, and they'll do that by cutting jobs and cutting branches. But the overall benefit will be for the economy, for putting competition in for Bank of Ireland and AIB. So Simon Harris has a big decision to make.
Okay, the things we don't have time to talk about. Dublin Airport and the passenger cap. Dublin Airport and the future of its boss, Kenny Jacobs. Arda, taken over by its bondholders. Dramatic loss of control for Paul Coulson, but at least he was compensated with about $106 million on his way out the door. Not bad. And Michael O'Leary, of course, got his $100 million bonus from Ryanair. And he's staying until the age of 75. Sorry, excuse me. And we didn't indulge ourselves by talking about Elon Musk and Tesla. Although, I think as Tesla flounders, I think SpaceX could be one of the most interesting stories for us to watch in 2026. But I'll just give you very briefly, we just mentioned the things that are going to be very interesting to watch in 2026 in Ireland. Auto enrolment and how that works for companies. Whether the VAT cut for hospitality and the tax breaks for developers work as the government had actually planned. And also, what sort of pay increases will there be in the private sector, given that the budget essentially left it to the private sector to make it up to workers by giving them higher wages?
Come the 1st of January, a lot of people are going to be finding themselves worse off because they'll realise prices are going up for electricity, they're going up for groceries, they're going up for private healthcare, and their wages will not be going up as much as they thought.
Ian Guider of the Business Post, thank you. Tomorrow we're going to talk about the best business books of the year as something different.
The Last Word on Today FM.